And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Kelly, for playing for them. Wow, you can sing every week if you want. Praise the Lord. She was nervous about singing it. No reason to be nervous about that. Kids, Mrs. Van Hall, are you up to junior church this week? Praise the Lord. She's ready to go. So if the kids are interested in junior church, and by the way, Mark, that was a great description of Pensacola Christian College. One thing he didn't mention, though, for the parents who aren't familiar with that college, one thing they've done is they've made Pensacola affordable. Now, they have something that most people, each college has their niche. I had a son that went to Bob Jones, and that was just where my son was going to be. I had a daughter that went to Maranatha because that's where they fit. But, you know, one thing Pensacola has done and strived to do is they make it affordable. They're the most inexpensive Bible college there is. And what I love about it, a person can graduate from Pensacola and almost be debt-free. Some of these other colleges, it's very difficult. But they've tried to do that. They can do it through a Becca Books. And so I'm very appreciative that you can get a really, really solid, good education with a Christian emphasis, but an affordable price. That's what makes them very, very unique. So praise the Lord for that. I appreciate them being here. Isn't it good to see Jerry back in church? And Eva back there, I was surprised. I knew he's been doing better and getting better. I hadn't been to see him since my surgery. And I just thought two of us would get together and cry together over the pain. But it's just wonderful to see him out and about, and he seems to be doing very well. If he needs to get up, they will get up and leave if his back begins to trouble him too much. But I'm just thrilled to have them here and have them back with us. Philippians chapter 1. Again, it's good to have the Crowders with us. I appreciate Kelly driving them up. You did all the driving, did you not? Praise the Lord. That is wonderful. My wife is the only one I know that could do that. She drives, she could drive all the way, and she will. She'll make many trips down to North Carolina all by herself, and she just loves to do it. She's the driver, I'm the sleeper in the car. Praise the Lord for that. Philippians chapter 1. I want to go through this. We're talking about the life of the Apostle Paul, and this isn't the life of the Apostle Paul, but to me it's become the life of the Apostle Paul. This book was written with the idea of joy in mind, and I never understood that. I preach many, many sermons out of the book of Philippians because they're wonderful verses to preach out of. But I've never looked at the book as a whole. And the more I look at this book, I'm beginning to learn the Apostle Paul and his mindset. When he said in Acts chapter 20, he said, my goal in life is to finish my ministry with what? Joy. He said, I want to get it all done. And there's nobody who suffered more for the Lord Jesus Christ than the Apostle Paul. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. You go to 2 Corinthians. We read that a number of weeks ago. And all the things he went through for the cause of Jesus Christ, everywhere he went, he was pushed out of town. He was tugged at. They wanted to kill him. They didn't elevate him. He went through the ringer for the cause of Jesus Christ. But the Bible said his goal was to finish his course, finish what God had with him with joy. And so that challenged me to look in the scriptures to find a time where the Apostle Paul did not have joy. And there's never a time in scriptures. Now, he had a disagreement or a different philosophy than Barnabas had in Acts chapter 15 and 16 going into Philippi. They went in separate directions, but God used both of them in a wonderful way, and Paul handled it with joy. Everywhere he went with joy. And then this leads us to this book of Philippians chapter 1, where we set the groundwork that Paul was arrested. We know that in Acts 27, he's shipwrecked and everything. He finally made it to Rome, and he was put under house arrest in Rome, and he had a soldier that was chained to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He never went for 2 years at a time where he had any freedom of his own. And yet we see that God did some amazing things. And so as we've looked in this, we see his prayer and the prayer that I make for this church every day, that God will bless and give you the ability to love with agape love, and it'll abound more and more in your life, that you'll prove the things that are excellent, that we'll live with integrity before a lost and dying world, that the works of righteousness may be seen by Jesus Christ in our lives. God would be praised and glorified with the lives we live. That's my prayer for you every day. But as I began to research this out and see the passage, we saw that Paul kept his joy, and he kept his joy even in troubles. He was in jail. He was under house arrest. He lost his freedoms to go preach. He couldn't visit the churches. He had a soldier attached to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He could do nothing by himself. Yet in spite of all his troubles, he kept his joy because of the furtherance of the gospel. And if you read it closely, it said that the gospel went to the palace and to everywhere, and to everyone it went. No, Paul couldn't have designed it. He didn't know how he could get the word of God into the palace with Caesar. He didn't know how he could reach those people in Rome. He had no idea. He'd tried many times to make his way to Rome, but God forbid it to go because God had a plan. And God used Paul's troubles, and so he kept his joy even in the midst of troubles. But he kept his joy even in the midst of detractors. He had people that criticized him. They preached Christ. These weren't unsaved people. They preached Christ, but they preached with envy and strife. The Bible even goes on to tell us that Paul said that they tore him down to build themselves up. But he said, praise be to God. Glory to God, because the gospel's going forth. And it doesn't matter if they're preaching in envy and strife. It doesn't matter if they're tearing me down. As long as the gospel's going forth, and Paul kept his joy even in the midst of detractors. Then we saw last week that Paul kept his joy even in the midst of death. I'm going to give you the sentence that Caesar gave, that I believe Caesar gave, and how it worked out and at the end of his life. But he was nearing that 2 years of imprisonment. And he said, it doesn't matter to me. He said, whether I live or whether I die, it's all good. If I live, then God has a plan. If I die, I get an eternal life in heaven. And Paul kept his joy even in the midst of death. And so in the midst of trouble, in the midst of his detractors, in the midst of death, even in death, Paul kept his joy because God's word was going forth and the gospel was being preached and the churches were being strengthened and more people were going out and sharing the good news than had ever gone out before. And in the midst of all his troubles and all his detractors, and even in death, God was being magnified and God was being glorified. Paul kept his joy. But there's one last thing, and you'd find that in verses 20-26. And I put this ball, Paul kept his joy in spite of being in the flesh. And I think you'll understand that when I get done. But in verse 22, Paul said, let's go back to 20. He said, whether by life or by death, it doesn't matter. I'm good to go either way. For me to live, Christ. To die, gain. I wish I had time to expound on that last week and this week, but I'll never get through this. But it says in verse 22, but he said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not, for I'm in a strait between two. I'm betwixt two. Having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far, 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 far better. But nevertheless, to abide and in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all the furtherance and the joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by the coming to you again. See, Paul kept his joy even in the flesh. And so he said, to live is Christ, to die, gain. Whether I live or die, it doesn't matter. God's will is being done. The gospel is being furthered. Everything is good. But he said, but if I do live in the flesh, if God lets me live, if I am to live on in the flesh, you see, part of the spiritual greatness is to know Christ intimately. Boy, I hope you'll listen to that. Part of spiritual greatness, the joy of the Christian life, is to know Christ intimately. And the longer, the more intimate you know Christ, the more longing you'll have to be with him. Heaven will never look sweeter to you than when you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, but I have to know him. That's why Paul said, to live or die, it doesn't matter to me. Because he knew Christ intimately. And to know Christ intimately is not to fear death. It's not even to worry about death. It's to long to be with him. Paul longed to be with his Lord. But he said, if it was God's will for him to live on in the flesh, And that flesh doesn't mean a wicked life. It just means life. If it's God's will that I live on in this life, this is what I love. This is the principle. If you get nothing else, get this. He knew that that would mean fruitful labor for him. Look what it says. But if I live in the flesh, that this is the fruit of my labor. He said, if I live in the flesh, God, you let me live and you don't take my life. Caesar doesn't take my life and you let me live. I know all it's going to be is fruit. Well, you say, Pastor, that sounds a little bit cocky by the Apostle Paul. No, it's not cocky in any way, shape, or form. He knew that if he lived on, you know what he was going to do? He was going to present the gospel. Wherever he went, he was going to present the gospel because that was his life calling. That's what he did. Up to this point, that's all he did. Everywhere he went, he presented the gospel. And Paul knew it wasn't him that created those salvations. It was the Holy Spirit's power in the lives. It's the gospel that's powerful. It's not Paul. It's the gospel. And he knew as long as he presented the gospel, if the gospel went forth, you know what? There would be fruit. See, Paul didn't have confidence in himself. He had confidence in the Holy Spirit and in the gospel of Jesus Christ because he knew it's this book that changes lives. It's the gospel that can change a drunkard from being a drunkard into a godly husband and a godly father. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that can take somebody who's into drugs and going down a wrong path and put them on a path to where they serve the Lord Jesus Christ and their life is changed. That's the gospel, folks. The gospel changes hearts. The gospel changes lives. You see, we forget that. But the Apostle Paul didn't. That's why he said, but if I live in the flesh, if I continue on, if God grants me life in this earth, he said it's going to just be more fruit for my labor. Why? Because he was such a great servant of God? Absolutely not. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. But he knew it was the gospel that would change lives. It's the gospel. As long as the gospel was going to be forth, going forth, you were going to see the blessing of God. You were going to see the fruit of the labor because it's the work which is of the Holy Spirit taking the word of God and changing hearts and lives. When the word of truth of the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, it will be constantly bearing fruit because that's the gospel. Again, we saw it with Paul's detractors. They were criticizing him. They were tearing him down, saying he was wicked and he was in prison because he was a sinful person. They were tearing him down, but Paul said, that's okay. I don't mind as long as the gospel's going forth because that's what I'm here for. To see the lost come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, see somebody on their way to hell that's now is on their way to heaven. It doesn't matter how much I suffer. It doesn't matter what I go through. Just for the fact that as long as the gospel goes forth, people are going to get saved because it's the Holy Spirit that takes the gospel. Boy, God began to speak to my heart with this message, folks. It's the gospel that changes lives. This is what set Paul apart from most Christians. It was the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, how we need to learn in our lives at Faith Baptist Church that the gospel is key. There's so many good works that the people in this church do, and you're good people. You do so many different things for so many, and you do so many things around this church. But God's began to burn my heart through this passage and through the Apostle Paul that the key is the gospel. I love the works, and I love what you do, but the gospel's got to go forth. They need to see a good church. They need to see a godly church. But they need the gospel. They need the gospel. That's why I'm going to make an appeal to the whatever committee I got to meet with up to town. And they got the local ordinance that you can't put a track in anybody's door. You just can't go and put a track in a door. You can't put any religious material in a door. You have to first knock, and if they answer the door and they allow you to, you can give it to them. But if they don't answer the door, you can't leave the material. I found out in Fremont, people are smarter than I thought they were. When I knock on their door and they look and don't recognize me, or they recognize me as a preacher, or they won't answer the door, because if they don't answer the door, guess what? I can't leave any material. I'll knock on 20 doors and 3 will answer. It's been very difficult. But you know, I've been praying. That God's going to open the door, because you know what Fremont needs? They need the gospel. That's what I'm learning from the Apostle Paul. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I live or die, it doesn't matter. It's all good. I'll take either one. But if I live in the flesh, he said, it's going to be the fruit of my labor, because that's the gospel. He said, all I'm going to do is, if God gives me a breath, I'm going to get the gospel out. And if the gospel goes forth, the gospel is power. We learned that from Jonah, who had a wrong attitude. Jonah didn't have a right attitude when he presented the word of God, and he declared that if you don't repent, God's going to destroy you. But he had a sour attitude. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. Now, he had his reasons, and I understand his reasons, because Assyria would come and later take Israel and take him into captivity. And he knew if he destroyed Nineveh and destroyed Assyria, that couldn't happen. I get his heartbeat. And so, not out of obedience, but out of he saw a picture of hell in that belly of the whale, he went and still presented the good news, the gospel. The greatest revival that this world has ever seen took place just simply because the gospel went forth. They repented in sackcloth and ashes. Boy, how much we need to learn from the Apostle Paul. See, he had joy in spite of being in the flesh, because if I go to heaven, you'll see that in just a second. It's far better. But to live on in the flesh, that's okay too. Because all I have to do is take the gospel and get it out there. Oh, how much that should burn our hearts, and God's really burned my heart with this, folks. We need to take a gospel track and take it with us. As you say, Pastor, I'm not good at talking to people. That's okay. Hand them a gospel track, and the gospel tracks we have, what do you have in common? That's my favorite one, because it goes through the gospel. It goes through the plan of salvation, and somebody could read that and simply get saved right out of that track without you even leading them through that track. We need to get the gospel out. I'd love to take John Romans and put them in every door and every house in Fremont. I'd love to put a gospel track. I'd love to put anything I can in hands of people in Fremont, so that the gospel, because when the gospel goes forth, amazing things can happen, because that's the power of this book. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your power. It's not my power. It's the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul knew. Paul knew that if he stayed in the flesh, God through the Holy Spirit would add fruit, because the gospel would go forth. We do not build the church. Christ builds the church through the power of the Holy Spirit in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew the power of the gospel. Yet he said, I'm in a quandary. He says, if I live in the flesh, I know what it is, because I'm just going to give out the gospel. And I know I'm going to get fruit for my labor, because I know the gospel. I know the Holy Spirit will use it. So I know that for sure. Yet, what I choose, I don't know. He said, I can't choose between staying in the flesh or going to heaven. He was in a quandary about life and death. Paul's point seems to be here, that he couldn't decide which to choose, because Lord hadn't made him clear. Did the Lord want to take him home, or did the Lord want him to live? He said, I don't know what the Lord wants. Man, it'd be so easy have you ever said that? It'd be so easy if the Lord would just tell me what he wants me to do and I'll just do it. That's where Paul was. He said, it'd be so easy if I knew I'm supposed to die. Oh, glory to God. Then I know. And if I'm supposed to stay here, great. But he said, I don't know what God has in store for me. I don't know what God wants. And so it's so hard to make a choice. That's why he said, then I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know which to choose. He was not sure of the Lord's will. He was not sure of what God wanted. Paul was not opposed to either one. He simply wanted to do both. That's what he said. For I'm a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far, but yet nevertheless to abide in the flesh, it's more needful for you. He said, I'll do both. Paul was pressed in both directions. That's the idea. Again, Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That word depart comes from the idea of a prisoner getting out of prison who'd been in prison for quite a while, and all of a sudden he's released, and guess what? He has freedom. I think I can give you a better understanding of the way I understand this word depart. For those of you who've been around here, since I've been here, you know what we've had a problem with? Raccoons. We had a family of raccoons. And in fact, we've had a number of family of raccoons that have lived up in our upper building up here, up on top. You say, well, why, how you let the raccoons? We didn't let them in, folks. They climb up those glass doors on the slide there. Somehow they get on the roof, and then they tear the steel. They pull the steel back on the roof to get down into the upper section there. I mean, they pull the steel with their hands. Feet, whatever they are, paws. And when we fixed that side, then they went in this side. And they raised the families. You say, how do you know there was a families? Well, number one, I could hear all the pitter-patter up there at night. But I remember I was gone one day, and they put a stick up there. And out of the overhang over there comes walking out the raccoon, and all the little babies walked down the stick. Got out. We got them out. We said, good, now they're out. We've sealed this thing up best we could. But during that time, I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to get a live trap, and I'm going to catch that raccoon. Those raccoons. So I set the live track out there. I went to the internet, learned what raccoons, and I said it just perfectly. I mean, the sardines. They could have ate for a week with what I put in that trap. Every morning I'd come and look at that trap over there. First thing I'd do, I'd walk in those doors. I didn't go to my office. I walked down and looked out the window, and the trap was empty. Every morning. But one morning, oh boy, I came down and I looked unexpectedly, and all of a sudden there was an animal in my trap. Man, I started doing the joyous dance that only a pastor can do when he's caught a raccoon that's been living in his ceiling. Got my gloves on, went out there, and it wasn't a raccoon, it was a neighborhood cat. Now bear with me in the illustration. That cat was ready to depart. I mean, I reached out and it clawed out, it went after me. And so I grabbed the thing, and when I lifted that up, that cat shot out of that trap like no other animal I've ever seen. It departed. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I'm ready to go. Just that quick. Because it's in the moment of when you take your last breath. There's no sleep in between. When you take your last breath, you are immediately in the presence of Jesus Christ. When a believer departs, he dies. They immediately go to Christ. That's why Jesus told the thief next to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. 2 Corinthians 5:8, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Heaven is a blissful experience. And then Paul knew it because he said, I have a desire to depart, just like that cat came out of that trap. And I have not seen him since then. He came out of that trap as quick as could be. Paul said, that's my desire to go to heaven. And to be with Christ, he said, and you don't see it in the English here. It says, which is far better, but that's not what that word says. That word says, which is far, 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 far better than anything you've ever experienced on this earth. You say, how did Paul know that? He went there, folks. He said, whether in body or spirit, I don't know, but I got a little glimpse of heaven. He said, the words, I didn't have words to describe it. And he said, if I even did have words to describe it, and I wrote them down, you still wouldn't believe it. He said, I know what heaven is. He said, I'm ready to depart. I'm ready like a cat out of a raccoon trap. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. Because when heaven is obviously better than staying on this earth, where you will experience the marvelous freedom of eternal righteousness and glory, and you'll serve God day and night, Revelation chapter 7. When you get to heaven, folks, believers will no longer live by faith, they'll live by sight. That's why the Apostle Paul, you've heard me mention before, he said, now there's faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because when you get to heaven, you no longer need faith. It's all there. You no longer need to have hope. You're there. But you'll still need love, and the love of God will abound in your heart like you've never seen it before. You'll not walk by faith, but you'll walk by sight. You'll no longer see God dimly, as the Apostle Paul said, but you'll see him face to face. Paul said, that's heaven. He said, I'm in a little bit of a bind here, because I realize to depart, it's awesome. It's far, far better than anything I've had on this earth or will ever have on this earth. It's far, 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 far better. But he said, nevertheless, with all that in mind, to stay here in the flesh may be more needful for you. Paul was saying there, he's not being arrogant again. He's saying as long as there's work to be done on this earth, that's where Paul wanted to be. He wanted the gospel to go forth. He wanted the church to be strengthened. He wanted lives to be changed. Although there was great daily pressure on Paul for the concern for the churches and his work as he went around and visited the churches, he did not consider that responsibility a burden, but a joyful opportunity to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul considered the Philippian church to be better than himself, but he knew they had needs, and you'll find out as we go through this study, I've had the privilege of studying a little bit of ahead, and you'll find out the Philippian church wasn't a perfect church. Boy, they had problems with their attitude. They had problems somewhat about being arrogant about the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul warned him about many things, and you'll see that the same warnings he gave to the Philippian church, he's going to give to you and I in just a few weeks. This was not a perfect church. This was not a great church. But folks, listen to me. Paul knew that he could come alongside them. If he could make them the church that God wanted to be, the gospel would go forth in a greater way than if he were doing it himself. That's why if you understand the scripture, and I told you this weeks ago, Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to come and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to go and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and greater works will you do because the Holy Spirit will go. That's what Paul was saying. If you churches will just get my heartbeat, if you get the heartbeat of taking the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, if I can just train you, stay here and train you a little bit more and give you my heartbeat toward the gospel, and you'll take the gospel all over this world, not only where I could impact, but all over this world will be impact for the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul was willing because of that to postpone his heavenly blessing for the sake of continuing to serve earthly saints in the Philippian church. So Paul said, I'm in a dilemma. Christ or the church? You know, some of us get in a dilemma, but it's usually not like that. You know, do I give or do I buy something for me? Do I go to church or do I take the week off? That's our dilemmas. Paul's was a great dilemma. Christ or the church? He said, either way. He said, whatever you want, God. In verse 25, he shows us that he has a strong feeling to what God has taken place. Look at this. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for the furtherance of the and joy of faith. You know, the Apostle Paul had this gut feeling. You know, I don't get many gut feelings, but my wife, you know what? I should listen to her more often. Ladies have a sense about certain things. When my wife says, I don't think we ought to do that. You know what? I should listen to her once in a while. But I'm just stubborn enough to do it anyway. Then I come back and said, oops, I should have listened to you in the first place. Paul had one of those feelings, those strong feelings. He said, I, this wasn't a revelation from God. But something inside him, I believe it was the Holy Spirit that began to tell him that because of the assessment and the needs of the church, Paul felt that the Holy Spirit was prompting his heart that God was going to release him from prison and the Holy Spirit was going to come alongside him and release him from prison to accomplish this purpose. Paul said that, so he's not being arrogant in any way. But he said, that's what I think. I have this gut feeling that God's going to release me. That's what he's telling the Philippian church. And then in verse 26, I don't have time to go into it, but he wanted their confidence to be not in him, but in Jesus Christ. Knowing that Christ is the key through the Holy Spirit. Boast in him, not in me. Grow and glorify. So if the Lord allows me to come, I want to come and I want to grow you and I want to teach you why. I want the furtherance of the gospel through the Philippian church. I want the Christ to be preached through the Philippian church. I want his name to be glorified through the Philippian church. I want the church to be strengthened. I want God to use the Philippian church. And so I have a gut feeling, I have a wrenching fire that God's going to release me and not take me home. And I'm going to have the opportunity to grow the churches of Jesus Christ. My time is all gone. But I want to leave you with this. Because that is exactly, I believe, what happened. Now, from all the records I've researched, there's no positive exactly, this is when Paul was in prison, and this is when he was released, this is when he died, this is when he was beheaded. We know he was beheaded. I believe this to be around 63 AD. And after 2 years of being in prison, Caesar released him. We believe it was around 63 AD, because if it would have been 64 AD, that's where Caesar burned down the Rome, because he wanted to rebuild Rome, so he burned it down. And you know who he blamed for burning it down? The Christians. So this happened before, and Paul was released. But the funny thing is, he loved the Philippian church. So I researched this for hours and hours and researched. Again, he will be imprisoned again one day. But immediately after his release, he sent Timothy, and I've got scripture for all this, Philippians chapter 2, to take the news to Philippians to the Philippi church that he was being released. He went to Asia Minor, and we find him meeting with Titus on the island of Crete to establish a new church in Titus 1:5. Then he left there and went to Ephesus, who Timothy left Philippi after delivering the message, came and brought him news from Philippi. And told them about the growth, and the people were excited, and the things that were taking place in Philippi. He left Timothy there in Ephesus in order to visit some of the other churches. His whole goal was to get to Philippi. He made his way to Necropolis to meet with Titus one more time, and he ended up in Troas. And that's where they believe while in Troas, he was arrested, taken to Rome. Around 65, 66 A.D., Caesar had him beheaded after a short imprisonment. So I always thought, when I studied the book of Philippians, that Paul died at the end of this imprisonment. But he wasn't. He had a gut feeling that God wasn't through with him yet. There was more for him to accomplish. And you know what it was? The gospel goes forth. I challenge you, as my heart's been challenged, do we take the gospel forth? You know, I ask you the question that I ask myself, when's the last time I've given out a gospel tract? When's the last time I gave out my testimony? See, God doesn't bless you. He blesses the gospel. You don't bring anybody to Christ. The Holy Spirit does. Through the power of the gospel. So I don't have to be trained. I don't have to be proficient. I just have to give out the gospel that Jesus died, he buried, and he rose again the third day. The gospel is what saves lives. The gospel is what changes lives. God wasn't quite through with Paul. He was ready to go. But he said, but if I live in the flesh, God, if you let me live on, it's fruit for my labor, because the gospel is going to go forth. And that's exactly what he did. God spared his life probably for 2 more years to strengthen the church. Then God decided to take him home in the greatest day of Paul's life. God has kept you and me here with a purpose. You say, Pastor, I don't know what God's purpose for my life is. I do. One of the purposes is to give out the gospel to somebody. You can reach somebody I can't. But you know what? I can reach somebody you can't. We can all reach somebody for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying. So, to go to heaven, far, 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 far better. But to live in the flesh is the fruit of my labor, because the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ.